Statue of Liberty. I think that stands for the light of the gospel.
Amen.
They had to shine it up again. Had to renew the light, you know. Well, you know, sometimes we forget that the light that we hold forth is the only light these people have.
Right.
And well, we need to come together again and to remind ourselves, you know, well, what is it all about? Oh, the light, right? The light. We've held the light for so long, sometimes we forget that's
Amen.
The only light people have. And you know, she holds a book in her hand. Well, I don't know whether that's the King James or not, but I kind of imagine it must be. You know, I was thinking about, you know what they say about her. This guy, I forgot what his name, Lazarus, I think his name was. Give me your poor, your tired, your huddled masses, you know. Isn't that what the gospel's all about?
Yes, amen.
In Luke 4, that's what Jesus said. He stood up in the synagogue and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to who? To the poor.
Amen.
To the brokenhearted.
Amen.
To the people in prison. That's what it's all about. Liberty, that's not at all what that statue offers. It really isn't. Even in the United States, there's no such thing as real liberty. But I tell you, the liberty that we offer,
Amen.
It really is a real liberty.
Amen.
But I just think we need, you know, to maybe freshen up this image we have of the gospel. We need to remember the light we hold forth and the book we hold. And you know, something even more than that. Inside, they say, the Statue of Liberty was really falling apart. And you know, some of our lives, I think, need to be re-redone.
Amen.
Outwardly, didn't look so bad, you know. But inside, it said that some of the iron framework had rusted and said it could have very easily happened that a strong gust of wind could have blown that thing over. You know, some of the lives of some of us maybe is rusting or rotting within. Even though we come to church and even though we have an outward image, maybe there's some things inside that we need to strengthen. Maybe there's some things inside we need to renew. They even had to throw some of that stuff out and put in some new stuff, you know. Maybe we need to do some of those things. But I was just thinking about how we could apply that really to what we're here about this week. You know, even though we have the truth, we have the light, we have the book, sometimes we need to strengthen and we need to freshen up and shine up a little bit.
Amen.
These things. And that's what we're here for. We're celebrating liberty too.
Amen.
But a different kind.
Amen.
Amen. I was reading a magazine article where it had accounts of people when they were coming over and how the first thing they would see in the New York Harbor would be the Statue of Liberty. And over and over and over again, they would say, I'm free, the minute they saw her. You know, and that's neat, you know, because this really was the promised land to thousands
right.
of people, you know, from bondage in other countries. But, you know, I thought as I read it, they weren't free.
Amen.
You know, they even came here and they were free from a lot of things, but they still weren't free.
Really
you know?
Free.
And I thought, too, how she stands and she's graceful and she's tall and everybody can see her, you know, from, they say, miles out in the harbor. And we need to lift up Christ.
Amen.
He's that visibly seen because he says if he'll be lifted up, he'll draw all men to him.
Amen.
And he needs to be, you know, to where as people are looking for that promised land, that freedom and that hope, he needs to be where they can see that, you know, and that's through us that he needs to be that way. And I was thinking, you know, how people, you know, we're real proud for, you know, what she stands for and the country that we live in. And how people, you know, are glorying over her, but we need to glory over the Lord.
Amen.
And I was reading in Song of Solomon, in verse 5, where she's looking for her beloved, and the other women say, you know, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women.
Amen.
What is thy beloved more than another beloved? Thou dost so charge us. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000.
Amen.
His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers.
Amen.
His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh.
Amen.
His hands are as gold rings set with a beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphire.
Amen.
His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. Amen. And his countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely.
Amen.
This is my beloved, and this is my friend. Oh, God,
Amen.
Jerusalem. I was thinking about, I'm a friend of mine who's getting married, you know, in a couple of weeks, and how you are, you know, when you're in love and everything. All you can do is just talk about that person. And, you know, you just talk more and more and more about that person, and people probably get tired of it, too, you know. Not that tired of talking about that person. But, you know, I was thinking when I read across this, how we need to be in love with Jesus.
Amen.
All we do is bubble about him too, and if that's so, then he will be lifted up.
Amen.
If we could just fall in love with
Jesus,
that type of love that you have for your spouse or you know, whatever, where you just bubble over, you know, and you're so proud and you're so happy and, you know, they're just so attractive to you, you know.
Amen.
And I was in the beauty shop the other day, and this just really blew my mind. I was sitting there, you know, and she had me leaning forward, you know, to cut my back of hair, and she said, no, don't move up or it'll get crooked. And this guy was over in the other side, and I guess guys talk a lot at barbershops or beauty shops, because it was amazing to me. Every time I go, you know, they talk more than the girls. And I don't mind going to people's ears off. But this guy, he had just recently gotten married, and he was just so excited and everything like that, and he was talking about the girl he married. But what was really striking is he said, oh, well, she's not very pretty at all. In fact, she's really plain, you know. She was going on. I was like, wow, I've never heard anybody talk about her like this. And I had to look at him, you know. I don't know. I just had to go look at him. And I started thinking about her. He's this guy, you know. Who do you think he is, you know? But I started looking at it, you know. Over in verse 8, he said, chapter 8, verse 6, it says, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as the grave, the coals thereof are coals of fire, which have the most vehement flames. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned.
Yes, amen.
God left the throne of heaven for someone who is not a lovely.
Amen.
He was so unlovely, you know, and this guy, I guess he didn't think his wife was very lovely, you know, but he loved her, you know. But that's what God, you know, we were lovely, but he loved us. He had compassion on us.
Amen.
And look what he did over in chapter 2. It says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, wow. So is my beloved among the sons.
Amen.
I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love.
Amen.
And he gave up his whole house, like that other, you know, said. He left the throne of heaven for us who are unlovely, you know, and we need to bubble over about his love. We need to fall in love with Jesus again. That's all we talk about.
Amen.
Because if we do, he will be lifted up.
Amen.
And then people can see the freedom and the love that God has
for us. Amen.
We're stationed in Germany for the bicentennial 4th of July, and a lot of the military families were kind of feeling sorry for themselves because we were not home. We wanted to be home. And one Sunday in church, this guy got up and sang, and the only thing I remember about the song was that the cross is my statue of liberty.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
You know, this is like a real good time to bring up the...
to bring up about the newspaper evangelism. You know, newspaper evangelism, I really love it, you know, and I really feel like it does lift the Lord, you know, and many, many people receive the gospel that we don't even get a chance to talk to, or probably we wouldn't even want to. Like
Amen.
Joey says, we probably wouldn't choose the people to even be the ones to talk to, you know. And because you can't talk to everybody, I mean, that's obvious, and people that are going to punch you out, well, you're going to avoid them. but you know, the Lord might... choose them as ones that are going to be saved, you know. But anyway, something that I find very, very, very interesting, and if you all would like to look at it sometime when you're just walking around, the countries that have been reached through newspaper evangelism to Mexico has been really amazing. I mean, I think there's something like that in the light, you know. I mean, or
Amen.
Word of the light, you know. And I mean, sure, there might just be one response or two responses, but that doesn't mean that that's just how many heard, number one.
That's right.
And that's
Amen.
How many write in. Now, I don't know about you all, but I see a lot of things in magazines and that, but, oh, I'd like to, you know, find out about this. But I never, never turn them in, or I never write, or I never ask about it, or it's just a million things I say, you know, that someday I'm going to respond. And if you would notice in the last 2 years of the school, we save all the coupons. Victor has a system, you know, that he saves them by states. of all the responses. And like we've had almost, I mean, over 7,000 responses in the last 2 years.
Amen.
Now that's just responses, you know. I mean, we don't know how many people read it, and we don't know how many people, you know, got saved at home by it, or found it in a beauty salon, or just anything, you know. We don't know. All we know is how many responded. And of that, we have, 2,000 and some active students. Now we don't count students until after they have already returned their first lesson. And once they've already returned their first lesson, then they're counted on the student. And, we're just really excited about it. You know, right now we have almost as many active students as 2 years ago we had responses. And we have about one third active students as total responses. And that's a great average.
Amen.
You know, I mean, to us, we're real excited, and many of our people, you know, I'm very possessive, you know, as another our people, you know, but many of our people have gotten saved through the correspondence, you know, and so if they hadn't gotten saved through the tracts, maybe they will through the correspondence.
Amen.
And it's repeated. I mean, you all are really great putting out that newspaper evangelism, and I mean, it's just fantastic. And Victor now is unhappy. Well, Dale and Victor, I guess, have always been sort of unhappy with the courses that we use. You know, they're not perfect, you know. And, I mean, there's always things that they'd like to change, but there's never been time. Well, Victor is working on making our own courses. And, of course, the gospel is straight right away, you know. The things that we want newly saved or unsaved to know right off. And, of course, how to be saved and, you know, just all the neat things that new Christians need to know.
Amen.
And then how to live as a new Christian, you know. And to me, it's just really exciting, and Brother Victor is excited about it, you know. And now that we have another full-time person in the school, he's having more time, you know. He still writes personal letters to all the students. And if they have any questions, he personally writes each one and answers their questions and sends them
sometimes
tracts or literature that's on the subject of their problem, you know, if they're having marriage problems or whatever, you know. And verses then that would apply to the problem. It's just a real blessing to me to watch Victor work. He's really organizing the school, and he's how do I want to say it? He's I don't even know what I wanted to really say about. Yeah, he's really efficient, you know. And if any of you all ever want to come to the school, he'd be thrilled to death to show you, and to show you even the responses from the last newspaper evangelism. You know, each publication he tries to save separate until a new publication comes out, so that we can see how many responses we're getting from something new. I guess Billy is especially, Billy and Dale are especially interested so that they know what one to put it in next time, you know, if we're getting a good enough response type thing. But anyway, it's just a real blessing, and if you all would like to take a look there. And also the pictures, the reason of the pictures is just to show you what a variety of students we have. Our youngest one, I believe, is 11 years old. Mm-hmm. Our oldest one is in his 80s.
Mm-hmm.
The 80-year-old man, I believe, got saved through the through the evangelism. And it's just a real blessing to me to see that we do reach people, you know. And I mean, like, even though, you know, we've never published in Spanish, we've never published here in the United States, and we have something like 300 responses or something, or here in the United States that write in Mexico. And to me, that's a real blessing, you know, because that's sort of extra, you know. I mean, the Lord just
gravy.
Yeah, that's just gravy, you know. that and all the other countries. El Salvador was published, and so we got Nicaragua in there too. From El Salvador, right? We didn't publish in Nicaragua,
did
we?
No, they didn't publish in Nicaragua.
Okay. And so that newspaper evangelism, I mean, that's it, man. That is the best way that we can reach enough people, to me. To me, it's just a real blessing.
Amen.
Let me just share another thing or two about the school. You didn't know about the extra or the other worker we have, but Victor's been needing someone for a long time to work in the school. And recently a lady got saved. One of Marty's neighbors. Marty started talking with her, and eventually she started coming to church, and she got saved, and she needed a job. She lost her job, and she needed a job, and so Brother Victor and I talked about it and prayed about it, and We offered her the work there in the Bible school, and y'all are sending enough money to pay her salary.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's not an awful lot. We're paying her $80 a month, and Victor is sharing part of his with her, and so altogether she gets $100 a month. But it's really taking a load off of Brother Victor. Some of the, just the, what do you call them?
Mundane.
Yeah, just things that are repetitious kind of things, you know, so he can devote more time to other things. And about the courses, we have probably the best course you can get that's prepared already. It's the Emmaus course. But some of the things that they put in there are really just unnecessary. For instance, just to give you an idea about why we'd like to change, they asked a question, the man who carried Jesus' cross, was he black or not? We don't even know whether he was black or not, but if he was, what difference does it make? I mean, really, it just doesn't have anything to do at all with the gospel. And there's just a lot of it that's not necessarily bad, but it's just stuff that is not necessary. And so what Victor's trying to do is to narrow the thing down and just give some good, simple courses that will cover the main things about the gospel. Amen. And do it quickly. Because if we lose a lot of people, you know very well, if you know anything about correspondence work, that it usually doesn't keep a very large percentage of the people over a long period of time. So two or three courses, some about all that some of them take. So we want to get as much as we can in those first two or three courses.
Amen.
So that's the reason for the desire to change. And we've been wanting to do this for a long time, like Marty said, but the time just hadn't been there. But now Richard's got some more time, and so we're hoping that soon we'll have some better courses.
Praise your Lord Jesus.
Amen. I think that active student number, according to your thing, is 2,242.
Well, and really, this isn't real accurate, because I was counting in May and the first part of June, so I only counted up to May. And at that time, the number of coupons we had was 200 less than the number, the running number of students that Victor has account. So really, we could be like 500 under by this. We have 500, probably about 500 more students than this shows. But I don't know where they are. Some of the coupons hadn't been filed yet because Anadina had an emergency in the family and she had to leave. So those coupons probably, you know, were stacking up and not being filed. And so that, I guess, would account for it.
Amen.
Some of you might have a question. Marty works in the school quite regular, so then I'd have a question you'd like to ask. This is informal tonight, so if you have a question, we'll
smile.
Do they have to be certain average that come in daily?
No, we've never tried to average it.
So he's basically answering all of those 2,000, is it a month or?
No.
Everybody goes at their own level. And he has another system too. He doesn't like the students to take a long time in between sending lessons, because he doesn't want them to get bogged down and forget it, you know. So if he hasn't received a lesson or some sort of correspondence from a student in 6 months, he starts writing them and saying, you know, have you lost interest? Aren't you interested? Do you not like the lesson? You know, is there a problem that we can help with, type thing? And then if they still don't get another response, then they're put in inactive, and 6 months later they're canceled if we haven't heard from them. So he doesn't. So our active students are active. I mean, you know, they're not ones that were holding back, type thing, and, you know, are not interested. They're interested students.
I'm sure that it's the best correspondence school anywhere. I've seen a lot of correspondence schools, and most of them are just really basically just, you know, you grade the thing and send them a new lesson. Grade the thing and send them a new lesson. But this is really personalized. I mean,
amen.
I know. I take a correspondence lesson. I write to Moody. And because I always feel like, you know, I'm missing something. Even though now I'm understanding more and more Spanish, I feel like, you know, it's still not the same, man. I need it in my language. I need it in my language. So I'm taking correspondence classes myself.
In Spanish?
No, in English. Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding.
No, I take them in English, and that's exactly how they are. They're just very good or a good start or a bad start. It's never even, if you write a question, I mean, there's hardly even an answer to your question, you know.
I think one of the most impressive things to me when they correct the lessons is when they do have an incorrect answer, they don't just mark it X and go on. Every verse that is needful to get to make that person understand, because we're interested in going back over their lessons and finding out, not just to get them right or wrong and make a good
But why they were wrong.
But why they were wrong, and give them verses to show them, or sometimes even a word or two, if you need to encourage them in some way, just a personal word on that particular question.
Amen.
That's it. That's it. Very good.
Is a little Bible sent with it, or do they?
We send them a Gospel of John for the first lesson. And then from that on, if they don't have a New Testament, we send them a New Testament, and we make them aware that we will sell them the whole Bible. We don't give Bibles. We do give New Testaments. By the way, a fellow from church in Houston, the young people that always go down with us every year, he was down just about 2 weeks ago, and he works for TI. And he says, the Lord willing, by this time next year, he wants to set us up with a computer. He's going to get the church in Houston to buy a computer, Amen. About a $15,000 computer, and set everything up on a computer.
Isn't it?
That's if the Lord is willing. Of course, he can get it for about a third the price. And so, praise the Lord.
Well, that would be a
blessing. Brother Charles?
I was wondering if you pay postage on the correspondence school both ways, or
up to this point, I think the school has been paying for it, but we're trying to make it how do you want to say it?
A paying.
Where they pay for their own postage, and I send them send stamps, so that they can send it back. Thinking also that this might. Keep the ones that are really interested. Some of the students either they can't read or they don't read their lesson or something. That they miss many, 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 many questions. And yeah, really bad. In fact, I don't even know if they're reading the questions. Almost. And so we don't even know if they're really reading the question. It's sort of like it's just writing down because it's something free. You got to rule out that this might be one of the problems. Something free, so let's take advantage of it. But if they're supplying their own postage, then they're more likely to read their lessons than to be trying.
One reason for that is in the last year and a half, our postage is probably 20 times higher now. We used to send these things off for 50 centavos. Of course, the peso has changed, we realize that. But not in the same ratio as what the postage is going to. We have to put on sometimes 300 and 400 pesos worth of postage on these things. And it's just, you can't believe really how much postage is used. Enormous amount of postage. And so we came to the place of realizing that sooner or later we were going to be forced into doing something. And so we feel like this is only fair for them, if they're really interested, that they pay the postage. We're still supplying all of the courses, but we ask them to pay the postage. We also, on this last one we put in, put on there just the first lesson is free. And that's in case people want to pay for their courses, they can. But we're still going to send them out free if they can't pay for it.
What kind of newspapers do you put these in? National magazine or dailies or?
Primarily what we have done. Now we put in all kinds of things, but primarily we use one magazine. It's called the Alarma. It's kind of like the National Enquirer. It's a Mexican National Enquirer, really. And the reason we do that. The reason we do that is because it is the most widely read of all of the magazines in Mexico. The response rate has been, like 20 times more than anything else we ever used. And so it's a tremendous bargain.
All of Mexico.
Yeah, and like she said, all over the United States and Canada, all over Latin America, all over Central and South America. It goes that far. And so we have a tremendous coverage with it. We don't know what's happened. The last time we tried to put it in, they were not publishing it because they said the government had closed them down temporarily. I don't know why. I can't imagine that.
Probably for printing the gospel.
May have been. Anyway, that's the magazine we use primarily. Now, the last time we put it in a political magazine called Impacto, which is probably the best of all the political magazines down there. In other words, the things that cover politics. And it's a very well-read magazine, but it doesn't have near the coverage, of course, that the other one does.
Do you have standard size? Excuse me.
Yeah, right back there. You can see the two on the wall, right back there by the poster.
That's the track.
It's a full-page ad.
And that full page ad costs about $1,500. Of course, it'll vary a little bit because of the peso, but around $1,500 for one page for one time.
And the circulation is over a million.
About a million and a quarter. But figured out, if you figured out by the track, in other words, by the copy, it's I've forgotten now. I think about 10 or 12 per penny, and that's delivered. And of course, Billy and Joe can't even print them. That's
right.
And there's no way they can even print them. And then, and if you ever try to pass out a million tracks,
not lately.
I tell you, and that's I'm talking about a whole year. Yeah. But that's in 1 week that goes
up.
And when we put it out that time, they had the earthquake. Mm-hmm. You all probably, some of you read that, but they put out about 2,200,000. So I'm almost double the circulation for the same price. So man, we really got the coverage that time.
Excuse me, when the earthquake happened, did anything happen to where the alarm was?
No damage at all.
And they were still open, taking.
Still, the next that very day,
and the next morning, they were down.
No electricity, but they were open.
That very day, weren't they?
Yeah, that very day morning.
It just so happened that our missionaries were down there
in that very city,
and so they really passed out tracts during that time when the people were really distressed and in need of hope. You know.
Also, the Lord used it at that time to when we put it in. It got in the issue about the earthquake, and so it was. And so they had, can't think of the word in English now, but they had double the
circulation.
Yeah, that's
double the
said.
Circulation
yeah.
because of
that was also a message of hope at the time of disaster.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think the track was right after the earthquake article, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Well, that was the issue on the earthquake. Everything in it was
the whole issue.
Everything was, it was tremendous. It was, there it was, you know. And it's gone pictures.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
You know, people can't believe that what, you know, what the church here is doing. But if you weren't doing anything else except this, that's a tremendous work.
Amen.
Because people are being reached that would never be reached by ordinary
right.
methods.
Amen.
That's right.
I mean, some of these people live so far out in the boonies, you know, we don't even know where the place is, let alone find how to. If we knew where they were, we couldn't find them. But we don't know where they are.
Haven't you tried to find some?
Yeah, we've tried to find some of these guys, and you can't even find them when you got an address. But can you imagine trying to find one of those guys without even name or address either one? But it's amazing, really, what this newspaper evangelism has done.
Really, and you know, we're singing about the light, you know, that put out the light, put out. That's it.
Send the light.
That's it. I mean, that is the light.
Not for that.
Have you received any of these feedback from the town that you all are located in, where you actually have a personal call up?
Very few, though, compared.
Very few.
You know that state, I don't know if you all had gotten it, if it was in the newspaper here, but recently, you know that state, Veracruz, that had 18 missionaries sent back?
Mm-hmm.
That state is our biggest response state, and our most students is in that state. So we're real anxious to see how that, if that's going to affect our student population with all those missionaries being escorted out. But we don't have as many. In fact, it's sort of discouraging, you know. Here we all are. And how many thousands of tracts have been passed in San Luis? And, you know, and of course, and all, you know, our door knocking and our clubs and our church, you know, and still we don't have near what we would have expected.
That's the way it works.
But you know, the Lord is really blessed with some tracts because one of our dearest, most faithful families were saved as a result of the tract.
Amen.
That's Benjamin and Marty and their family.
Amen.
And Jose de Jesus, who is one of our two elders, was saved watching a film on the street when he was preaching right there in his area. And he's one of our two faithful
ones. And our little old lady, who's very, very faithful, she comes late all the time. She gets confused, you know. Poor little thing, and she doesn't hear nothing, but she's faithful as all get out with her Bible, you know. And you know how she got reached? You know how she got reached? From a tract. Wendy was down there. Were they visiting?
Billy and Betsy. Uh-huh. They came down. Uh-huh.
And they were passing tracts, and that little old lady came out and got a tract from them. Isn't that a blessing?
You know, I thought she was describing some of y'all. gets here late and doesn't hear anything.